Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Empowered communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight on LA Talk Radio. I want to thank the Want Institute for bringing us to be here each and every week with you live on Thursday. And I want to thank LA Talk Radio for broadcasting us all over the place. But you can only talk to us a lot,
Robert,
on Thursday. Hi, Robert. How are you?
I'm great. How are you both today?
We're great. Dr. Allen, Robert Storr, you two chat it up.
Thank you, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Allen. How are you?
Robert?
Yes, I'm here.
I want to introduce you to my audience internationally.
Oh, I have no- it's just a quick 30 years.
How long?
Oh, just about a quick 30 years. Might be even longer now.
It came to me to get your internship. I was part of your internship to get your license as a licensed marriage family therapist. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think it's been more 35 years. Now that I think back when I was, I think I met you when I was about 30 years old, and we were, I was just starting to learn, and you were my mentor and my,
your supervisor. I was one of your supervisors. Right?
I'm sorry, did you say something else?
I said I was gotten to get you your license.
Yes, you said you were medicine, you taught us. You taught us how to do groups, individual, couples, and you taught us the whole theory of androgyny and how to work from both sides of our personality, our personhood, from our masculine energy and our feminine energy. And I have practiced that for 35 years with clients and been very successful at helping all sorts of people get together, stay together, and figure out how not to leave. So thank you for that.
Great. Then how did you, I know the answer, but I want you to explain, how did you get to be the executive director of the LA office of the U.S. Vets Suicide and Adjustment, I guess.
Sure. Yeah, no, I can tell you without going into too much of my life story, but the so I've been in social services and I've been practicing as a psychotherapist for years. And then about my partner, 15 years, left the relationship. And shortly after he left the relationship, he ended up taking his life. At that point in my career, it changed my entire life, both emotionally, physiologically, mentally, spiritually. And I made it my mission after about a 2-year lengthy recovery period from the depression and the grief, the loss, to find out and learn everything I could about suicide prevention and to make it part of my mission in life to speak, support, and help people. What I did was then I left the hospital I was working at and I became the clinical director of the largest suicide prevention center here in the United States in Los Angeles. And shortly after that, I was promoted to become the director and I ended up running the largest crisis line in the United States, supporting the training of FBI police on crisis and work the servers to command support people who were crisis and working with loss survivors, those like myself, who are going through protracted grief associated with suicide loss. Eventually, I left there for U.S. Vets, where I am now the executive director here in Los Angeles at our Patriotic Hall site in downtown L.A. And I also made it my mission to work with veterans in suicide prevention because, unfortunately, they make up 13 to 15% of the suicides nationally, which is way, 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 way too high. I mean, it's tragic. It's way too high. But what it allows us to do is see that there is a group of individuals that need our help. So I work doing an annual suicide prevention conference and training for veteran agencies as well in my spare time, and also volunteer with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and serve on their board of directors here in LA.
That's wonderful. painful and productive and spiritual years. What have you learned?
I learned
people that are suicidal.
Yeah, thank you. I learned that bad things do happen to good people, and they allow you spiritual opportunities to do just what you just mentioned, to learn if you choose. So first and foremost, I learned that if you lose somebody, you will go through a protracted grief period, and it could lead to a serious depression. So please know that you need support. And unfortunately, the statistics are about 40% of us will have lost someone to suicide in this country alone. About suicidal people, which I wanted to know, and in the area of prevention, is people who are suffering from suicidal thoughts and even the desire don't really want to die, but they cannot figure out how to deal or live with the pain that they're going through. What we know is not one thing that contributes to the actual suicide thought, but it is several things. It can be a neurological structure in the brain that's different from you or I. It can be a mental health issue associated with depression, bipolar, or anxiety. It can be social issues that contribute to it, and a history of suicide or a previous suicide attempt. But the most important thing we need to know about that is a group of people who are trying to figure out how to live. And we, if you are one of those people, I hope you're listening today and reach out for help. If you're one of those people that know somebody, then the most important thing we can do is do what we're doing right now. We can discuss what suicide is, we can demystify it, and we can understand it is a treatable mental health condition that is contributing. Now, that doesn't mean all people with depression, anger, mood disorders, percentage of those, but an important percentage that are also suffering from probably a predisposition based on their neurological makeup, their biochemistry, that predisposes them to go places that we don't normally go if we're not one of those people. So it's important that we, that have the consciousness, get comfortable talking about suicide and making it known that we're comfortable. And whether we're a therapist or a layperson, if we are concerned about somebody, that we vocalize that concern and that we're brave enough to tell them or ask them, has it gotten so bad that you've thought of killing yourself? And if it has gotten that bad, would you be willing to talk with me? Now, the answer may be no. And the answer may be yes, but either way, be patient, be available, and do your best to get comfortable. And you may, as most of us don't understand that people who are suffering with suicidal thoughts or ideation or desire are feeling so ashamed and so bad and so poor about something they don't have control over that they, because of the stigma, will not talk to us because they are ashamed, but they will try to talk to us. They will try to give us clues or hints. And if they give you any clues, like they're suffering, they're in the middle of a crisis, they've shared things that they don't feel like going on living or that it's gotten that bad, then that gives us the opportunity to start to talk to them about it. And it doesn't mean you have to be a mental health professional. The first suicide crisis counselors in the United States were the wives of the researchers who were busy too doing research, so they couldn't pick up the crisis line calls when they started to come in here in the 1960s when they ruled Marilyn Monroe's death as a suicide. We prepare professionals in making themselves available. Now, if you can have that conversation, you don't have to treat, take care of, or even worry about trying to keep that person alive. That's what the suicide crisis line is for. That's what trained professionals are for. But if you are concerned about somebody or you yourself are struggling, there is a crisis line number, 1-800-273-TALK, 1-800-273-8255, that you can reach out and call. And you can call it 24/7. And if you're not in the United States, you can look in your own area, either online in your computer or phone, and look for suicide prevention. There are crisis lines around the world. And in most cases, they provide text or chat. And if you're not suffering, but you know somebody that is, you can also call that number to get advice or feedback on what to do with somebody that you're concerned about, to help you get this. Because people who are suicidal often can't do it or won't do it because of their fear of having their rights taken away or their shame around the stigma. The last thing I'll share about that, I'll push it back to you, Pat, is that the most important thing is to show care and concern and realize the majority of people are ambivalent. They are struggling with the desire to die and how to stay alive. And if you can listen to them long enough as to why they don't want to stay alive, they will sometimes remember and they'll be able to find the way back to life. And if you get them through that short-term crisis, oftentimes that's all they need. If you can get through the crisis and get them to help, they can really recover from what they're going through.
Are you available in a private practice? Because you're not going to LA or, you know, AS, what you're saying, touch you.
Thank you, Pat. Well, the quickest way to get a hold of me would be through the telephone, which would be 562 area code 810-1040, 562-810-1040, 810-1040. You can feel free to do that. If you prefer to email me, you can do it at rstohr, which is rstohr2015@gmail.com. That's rstohr2015@gmail.com. Please, if you do need any help or know someone who needs help, feel free to give them that number or email. Have them reference the show so I know what they may be calling about, and I'd be more than happy to work with them. If you are a veteran or are working with a veteran, they call that same crisis line, 1-800-273-8255, but they press the number 1, and that will transfer you to the veteran crisis line. And they have resources available all throughout the United States to work with veterans. And Crisis Line will also point you to other therapists in your area or support groups for those people who are feeling suicidal or those people who have lost someone to suicide. That help is available.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to put in an ad for Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's book on grief and grieving. If somebody's wanting to know someone who deals with it and has become kind of an icon in the area. Do you have anything else? Yes, did you want to say something?
No, I was just saying she's incredible. I did a talk in a Google named Robert Stohr. You'll see a talk I did on grief, prolonged grief and the recovery from it, using Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's stages, which really helped people understand that grief, traumatic grief from a sudden death of a loved one with suicide or an accident, but worse with suicide, creates a difficult proposition for you to recover from. To do that, I certainly did. I went to therapy. I took an antidepressant for a period of time. I worked with grief groups, and you can also check in with AFSP.org, AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.org. They have free groups around the country, including here in Los Angeles, where you can find like-minded people who will support you in that recovery process.
I want to thank you for this session and tell people that you will be back once a month as part of your mission that I support.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for putting the energy and effort out to continue what we now know we need to do as a public health approach, which is we need to talk about this more frequently, make people comfortable, and make them aware that there's help. So I appreciate you and Kelly, Dr. Allen, and such a pleasure to connect with you as always. You know how much I respect your work. It has changed my life and countless others. If I can say anything at all about that, I would just, those of you listening, are listening to gold. I have used it for 35 years in my own practice as well as my personal life, and I've seen countless individuals heal and relationships become better. So thank you for the opportunity. You all have a great day, and if there's anything else I can do, let me know. Otherwise, I will see you in about a month.
Thank you so much, Robert.
I
got you with us. One more time with that number.
So the number to reach me would be 562-810-1040. That's 562-810-1040. If you want the crisis line, it's 1-800-273-8255. Thank you both. God bless and continue on in your journey. All right. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Robert Storr, everyone. Robert is amazing and dynamic and incredible. And please, please, if you are having those feelings, reach out to Robert or the crisis line. They're there for you. Okay, Dr. Allen, how are you this evening?
I am ready to go to work.
All right. Well, we're going to do that.
Hi. Yes. Hello, Dr. Pat Allen.
Hi.
I had called a while ago. My daughter is 18 and she's very independent. So
she's 18.
18.
Why? Pardon?
She's 18. She's 18 and
But that means, are you saying she's not treating you like you're her mother?
Well, that's right. I'm her aunt now, as you said.
No, you're not. She is a relative in your family.
Yes. Right.
And if you think of her as a child, she may have a difficult time becoming an adult.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So do you want to be her relative or her mother?
Relative.
Okay. What is your relative doing that's irritating you? Because we have rights to be irritated by relatives.
Yes.
We just don't have legal rights.
I'm irritated that I just was irritated that she's not going into a dorm at the college she's going to go and rent an apartment with her boyfriend. So I realized that I have no say in the matter. So
the apartment.
Well, she actually ended up getting a scholarship that is paying for it. But the boyfriend is not,
Do you understand you're more valuable as a loving mother, but a loving mother would allow her to become an individual.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful book that I really enjoy, and I tell people about it. It's called You Were Not Born to Suffer by Blake Bauer. And it's about becoming an individual who's independent of being a child. And if you want to be a loving relative, you will at least be her friend. But if you're going to be her mother, she can't be an individual.
Okay.
So are you willing?
Yes.
She's 18 years old. That's legal.
Yes.
She has a boyfriend, and that's really her business.
Okay.
And
so
she has
basically,
a scholarship. What?
So basically, if her boyfriend is taking advantage of her financially,
I want you to know that reality will teach her when she runs out of money.
Okay.
You have my permission to warn her that you will not add to her money. Do you contribute to her?
No. Well, because she's on a scholarship and she worked hard for
scholarships. Don't recall scholarships that give money for lunch. Is she getting her meals paid at the school?
Yeah, I think everything is covered.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have any other children?
No.
Okay. Are you really unhappy losing your daughter to growing process?
No, I'm not. I just don't have anyone to talk about, you know, talk about it to. So I'm glad we're talking now, because just to reinforce that she's going to, I could actually give her money, but then I worry that, she's supporting the boyfriend. So
I know that. So I want you not to give her money, so that she knows there's a price tag for independence. To get the book, You Were Not Born to Suffer, Overcome Fear, Insecurity, and Depression, and Love Yourself Back to Happiness, Confidence, and Peace. Do you understand that you're in the jail of motherhood?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How about we give her a birthday today and wish her well?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm going to, she's asking me to help her out with the apartment, but.
Help her out with what?
With finance, you know, like the part of her.
Oh, you don't approve of it.
Right, I don't approve of her living with the boy.
Do not give her money or stuff for the apartment you don't approve of. I absolutely support you.
Mm-hmm.
Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You don't want to financially or physically support her living with her boyfriend. And I have no problem with you not giving anything to them as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't
would
want...
Because I said I will support it.
Good.
After she's finished her first year of college. And right now she's telling
me
that...
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Has she gone to college for a year?
She's leaving for college, yes.
Okay, she hasn't done a year already. It sounded like she already did a year.
No, because she's looking for apartments now. So,
would you please inform her that there will be no chairs, beds, desks, there will be no money coming in because she's got a scholarship? And you respect her wanting to be a married adult, basically.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
Are
she's
you
telling
willing
me
to
that.
Accept?
Yeah, I'm willing to do that. Mm-hmm, because.
All right, then will you do that this week? And,
yes.
And you can ask whatever questions. How old is she? She's 18.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right. And.
If
she's saying that.
Do you want to read a book about teenagers?
Yes.
Brainstorms by Dr. Dan Siegel.
Okay.
Did you get the book? Have you heard me advertise it?
Yes.
Did you read it?
Not yet. I will read that.
Will you read that book? Because I want to give you everything I teach is scientific. Teenagers, that's 13 to 18, do not produce enough dopamine to be happy. Nature cuts off their juice in order to get them to go out of the house with or without a boyfriend, with or without a relative who gives money and furniture. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This book will explain what her brain is doing, and I'm telling you what not to do. Don't be her friend.
No.
Let reality teach her, and read the book about teenagers, because you're dealing with it right now.
Mm-hmm. So
will you do
when
that?
She says yes.
When she said what?
When when she says that she can't live without him, and I'm saying she needs to be, you know, strong on her own. That's what I say. But it's.
Did you ask her if she's suicidal?
She says she's depressive. She gets depressed without him.
That.
Yeah.
I want you to understand when she gets seriously ill, we have doctors that, but right now, I don't want you to be her doctor.
Okay.
Be her relative.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Yeah.
Do not contribute money or stuff to the apartment with the boyfriend you don't approve of. Do not participate, but do not lecture.
Okay. Yeah, I have that. Yeah.
So what were you going to do?
I mean, before all this happened, I was going to buy her a place near the university, but since she's going to be with the boy, then I don't want to do that now.
I want you to know I'm supporting you. Will you please hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If she can't go to class, call the paramedics and have her evaluated by a psychiatrist.
Okay.
But she's got to be seriously ill.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Will you do that?
Yes.
And call us back next week and report.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Did you call her?
Dr. Siegel's book about teenagers.
Yes.
Brainstorms. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you. Good. Call it 325 to get to hop in the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen and get your questions answered. Okie dokie. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Dr. Pat, so I've been following you all the way back to Ramada, and I've actually tried to get a hold of Sue a few times to ask this question. I'm going to start a podcast, and one of the things I would like to do is keep, even after you're gone from the earth, keep your work out in the community there. And so I'm trying to find out if that's something that you would like. I'd be more than happy if I make some money in the process of doing that to share some of the money with your children. And so, you know, checking to see if that would be something.
The legal department, you'll have to send an email to info@drpatallen.com and ask for contact with legal.
Okay, got it.
Thank you.
That's it.
Bye-bye.
I was going to ask you, Kelly, to answer his question.
Yes, I got you.
Good.
All right, here we go.
What?
Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. Can you guys hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Dr. Allen. It's really nice to meet you. It's really nice to talk to you.
I recognize the new voice. Have you ever called me before?
No, I haven't, but we do know somebody mutually that referred me to you.
What is your first name? Not your last name. No broken identities.
Got it. My first name is Harold. Harold L.
What?
My name is Harold. Harold L.
Kelly, can you tell me what his name is?
His name is Harold. Harold.
Well, that's what I did. I couldn't hear. My hearing aids didn't click in as good. They're fine, except that I have hearing problems. So, Harold, what do you want to ask me?
Okay. Well, what I want to ask you is...
I appreciate you men calling me.
Excuse me? Okay, well, my question. The question I have is right now I'm about.
Ask me the question.
I'm in an on and off relationship at the moment, where we have broken up many times.
If his voice is going down, will you please report what he's saying?
All right, Harold, we're working together now. Harold is in an on and off relationship. Go ahead, Harold.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. I've been in an on and off relationship, and just to kind of preface that, I've been in recovery now for about 8 months, and I've been working the 12 steps, and I find that I enter these moments with my girlfriend where we clash, and
Kelly,
normally my reaction...
Summarize what he's saying, please.
Well, yeah, let him finish, so I will. Go ahead, Harold.
And we get to this point where...
Would you speak louder, Harold?
I got you right now. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell my head.
Yeah, a little bit louder. He's in the stream times. Go ahead, Harold, now.
Okay.
Louder, love.
And what,
speak louder.
What? Hello. Can you guys hear me?
Louder.
All right. How is that better?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. So I'm in a 12-step recovery program, and I've been learning a lot, but one thing that
sex, drugs, alcohol, food.
Alcohol and marijuana.
How long are you sober?
Today is 8 months.
Pardon?
8 months today.
I'm sober 51 years.
That's amazing.
I know all about the program. What can I do for you?
Well, I'll get to the point of my question. How can I stop using breaking up as a way to be evasive in my relationship and overcome the reasons why it is that I believe we should break up, even though ultimately we end up getting back together because emotionally I want to be with her?
I know that, but if you're evasive, if you require mind reading, and if you're abrupt, people can't negotiate with you. I'm having a difficult time with my voice. I'm up and talking loud. What is the reason you're afraid to be you?
I don't like being in disagreements with
people. You don't like you.
I don't like disagreeing with people. I don't like the confrontation of it, so I'd rather just get it over with. And
what?
The confrontation of it, having to negotiate what it is that I want.
Then you want a mother. So do you want to get a nice old lady and have her mother you?
No, I don't.
So do you like sex?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Are you willing to be a man, not a boy?
Yes, and I would love for you to explain to me what it is that I need.
And are you willing to either speak up or write up? Because when people have to mind read you, women, girlfriends, have become your mother. I'm a rent-a-mom. I'm a therapist. Rent-a-mom. But I don't do rent-a-mom when I'm wanting to be cherished by a man. Do you want to be respected, Harold, or cherished first?
I want to be respected. I don't know.
Then you've
got to
sound like an officer.
I want both. Say that again?
Then you've got to sound like an officer.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
You can't. Is your father a girl or a guy? Is he afraid of your mother, or is he the man of the house?
I actually have lesbian parents. I grew up with my dad.
I didn't hear that.
My parents are lesbian. I didn't grow up with my dad.
Did you grow up with any man?
No.
That means you didn't have a role model. Did you have a brother?
No, I actually grew up in a house with three women, my two moms and my sister.
Women. No, there were four women, because you're talking like the tone of a woman. I'm talking like a man. Do you recognize that?
If you mean with how direct you speak, then yeah, I do.
I'm talking like a teacher. Mm-hmm. You see? Because I'm in my male. You have a man's body, but you have a woman's soul called the anima. That's a blend. And when you drink or use drugs, you knock out your brains and become more feminine. You've had this girlfriend since you've been sober, right?
Yeah, we would be making 5 years this year.
She has not seen you drunk. Is that true?
No, she has.
What?
She has.
She did see you drunk or didn't?
She did.
She did. Did she like it?
No.
What did she not like about you drunk?
I would get isolated a lot.
You give what?
I would isolate.
I didn't hear that word.
Isolate.
I would.
You know what you do? You become a woman. Harold, it's time to be a man. Men get what they want when they talk and sound and do what men do. Compete, conquer, and control. Do you want something from your girlfriend? What is it? What do you want from your girlfriend?
To be more understanding and not to be...
Understanding of what?
Of what I want, what I want to do.
Well, what do you want? Tell me what you want. We'll practice. What do you want her to do, please?
I want to be able to have the space to do what I want to do with my life, to work on my projects, but to also...
What is it that you want to do that she doesn't want?
Well, one thing is I'm in my amends right now, and she doesn't agree with me having relationships with certain girls from my past, even though I explained that they're going to be, I'm not seeking to have intimate relationships with them, but I want to leave the door open if they were to ever need to reach out to me for something, because this is part of my amends.
Have you negotiated time, space, money, and play with her? Have you a commitment relationship?
No, we've never really negotiated that. We've kind of just let it be spontaneous when we... Mm-hmm.
So you can negotiate it, and she won't respect you? Or won't she be your mother?
Are you asking if she won't respect me or be my mother?
She will never respect you as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
You have to say, honey, I want to go with the guys tonight. How do you feel about that? She needs to be cherished. And what can I do to help you and I feel better about it? She needs to be cherished by a man she respects. She can only respect you when you know what you want and you ask for it and you ask her how she feels about giving it to you. Have you read Getting to I Do?
No, I haven't.
Do you want to get married someday?
Yes, I do.
Have you ever read a book at all?
I have read books.
You like to read?
I do.
Then would you kindly read Getting to I Do, which is my winner book. And it's basically to tell you that when she wants to be cherished, you have to earn it by being respectable. Ask her for what you want, then ask her what she feels about it. Not what she thinks, not what she wants, how she feels about what you want.
And how can I, from the position of a man?
You can't. Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. Say that after me.
Women get what they want by finding out what they don't want.
Don't ask women what they want. You're asking her to be your mother. You tell her what you want. Ask her what she feels about it.
And if she feels negatively about what it is that I want?
If she feels like what?
If she feels negatively about what it is that I want.
She doesn't want to give it to you, you mean?
Pretty much, yeah.
Well, she may say, I'll give it to you once a month. She may negotiate.
So, for example, this amends thing. There's girls that, in the very beginning of our relationship, I had cheated on her. And these are girls that had also hurt. And now that we're a couple years into our relationship and I haven't made that mistake again, but these are girls that I'm going to be making amends to. And part of my amends is, at the end, is when I ask them what it is that they, if anything I could do to make up for it or make things right, I want to leave that door open, not to do anything sleazy again, but to just leave the door open so that there isn't any tension between any of my relationships, because it's not just specifically them, but in this situation.
I want you to understand, you can ask her for what you want, but if she doesn't give you what you want, you got it. Have you told her that the price for not doing what you want is no more relationship? She has a right to be who she is, but tell her what it'll cost her.
And that's also because when we had that discussion and she expressed that she wasn't happy about it, I just went forward and I broke up with her. But now we're in this discussion of whether it is the right thing, which is my initial question about breaking.
Why did you break up with her?
Because I didn't want her interfering with how it was that I led my relationships. And I felt that maybe it was a reason for me to just have an
what
experience
was
of being alone.
That you didn't want?
What she was doing that I didn't want was going against what it is that I wanted, which was to leave a door open for relationships that I had in the past.
Then you're not with the person that wants to be with you. If she doesn't respect you, you can't cherish her. You're both men.
Okay.
Have you warned her that if she doesn't respect you, you can't be with her?
I have.
What?
I have.
You don't respect me. I can't date you.
But I think by me breaking up with her was like a pretty clear like warning of that.
That's one of the first steps of sobriety. Your intuition was turned on and your manhood came out. Be with a woman that respects you and is willing to negotiate. And you better say, what can I do to help you and I feel better about what I want? Can we do it twice a week instead of four? It's called negotiating. She gets what she wants by knowing what she doesn't want. You get what you want by having manhood to ask you leave her. Try to negotiate. Are you willing to do that this week?
Yeah, I am.
And speak up. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And if you can, read the book, Getting to I Do, and maybe let her read it too, or read it together.
Okay. I'm going to look into it.
I'm telling you, I wrote it in 94 and it's still in the stores. Okay?
Okay.
Be a man. Sound like a man. You're sober. When women drink, they knock out their feminine. When men drink or drugs, they knock out their masculine. Got it?
Hmm. Okay, got it.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you, Doctor.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Harold. You make sure you call us back and let us know and ask any more questions you need to.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. Very interesting stuff going on there. I'm loving it, Dr. Allen. You're an inspiration. Here we go. Sam is getting us another caller for getting ready to relaunch our newsletter. So go to www.drpatallen.com and sign up. Could be free gifts and surprises in store for you if you sign up for our newsletter. All right. Gonna check in here with our switchboard and see what's shaking the sand. And see if we've got another call waiting for us. All right. Okay. Hello, caller. You are live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Thank you, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Great.
I have a question. I know you said in your book, you said don't ask for more, better, or different.
Don't ask for more, better, or different love, affection, time together, or sex.
Okay. So my question is, I'm dating a man. Well, a man is dating me, and he is quite frugal, and he's not very giving. And I feel less cherished because my love language is gifts and time together and things like that.
Are you in a monogamous, continuous, marriage-bound relationship? What kind of a relationship are you in?
Yes, we're in a long-term marriage-bound relationship.
Okay, and you're monogamous?
Yes.
And you're continuous? You talk or speak or date every week?
Yep, yes.
And you're both agreeing that you're building a relationship aiming for marriage, legal.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. So what is it that you want that you're not getting?
He's quite cheap, and I find it to be a turnoff.
Wait a minute. Like, is he 51% valuable? Does your body...
I'm not sure.
Have you made love with him?
Yes.
Okay. Do you respond physically?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
What is guess so?
I mean, yeah, it's okay.
Okay. So you have chemistry?
Yeah.
Is he lifestyle compatible? Can you marry tomorrow? Could you live where he wants? Could you deal with the money the way it is? Could you negotiate? Have you read Getting to I Do?
Yes, I've read the book 2 times now.
Okay. And do you know the tools that I teach?
Yes, I know the tools.
And so what major question do you want me to demonstrate, please? You see, I want people, women, not to ask for more, better, different love, affection, time, or sex. But I definitely will teach you how to speak when you don't like what he wants or what he's doing. So would you please think of something that I can use with you to teach you the tools?
Okay. I want
No. You don't want. I don't want to be with a man who is cheap. I don't want to be with a man who wants mistresses.
Yeah, I don't want to be with a man who's cheap.
Who cheats?
Cheap. He's frugal.
He doesn't spend money. But that is.
Yes, and I find that's fine. I think that's his right.
51% valuable.
He's very affectionate.
Oh, he's affectionate. So he's into cherishing you rather than respecting you. He doesn't want to respect.
Right. That's right.
So you want to live at a higher lifestyle than he does?
Well, yeah, maybe that. And he doesn't believe in gifting for birthdays or holidays. And I find that to be quite a big turnoff for me. And I don't know if I could put up with it.
Does it make him less than 51% valuable?
Yes.
Okay. So do you want us to work out you terminating him?
Yes. So is this a situation where I cannot use the tools? It's just what it is and I accept or reject?
What is the reason you can't use the tools? They're just words.
I'm just like wondering if it would perform better or different.
I understand that. That's you being a man, a mother. Mothers are
yeah,
men.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
Well, then you can accept him or reject him, but don't tolerate him.
Okay. And can I use a hi by letter as a form of rejection?
Yeah, but that means you're going to get rid of him.
Yeah.
If you want to get rid of him, I can help you do that.
Okay.
Do you
get
that?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to call him Sam.
Okay.
Here's what you say to him. And this is, if you've read the book, you know, have you read my last book, which is A Man's World, A Woman's Universe?
Yes, I actually finished reading it.
Tools in it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to on the chemistry, compatibility, and communication? You can listen to it for free.
Okay, I will do that.
but I'm going to give you, I'm going to demonstrate the tool that signals him that if he doesn't negotiate some kind of compromise with birthday presents, Christmas presents, is that right? Do you want hard cash or romantic? Because he's saying he's affectionate physically.
Yes. I want it like a thoughtful gift. It doesn't even have to be, I just feel like he doesn't maybe, it's, I guess it's, I read the five love languages and that was one of them.
Rid of them.
It's the gifts. I like to give people gifts when I appreciate them. And
have you read the book about the five languages of love?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you want gifts. That's what you want.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you don't want him unless he's willing. Okay, now I've got my program. So
okay.
I'm you now. Sam, you're him. Sam,
okay.
I want to talk to you about something about our relationship. Are you willing to listen to my thoughts and feelings?
Yes.
What do you
honey,
think?
Go ahead.
What would he say? What would he say?
He'd say, yeah, go ahead.
All right. Then you would say, when would it be most convenient for you to take the time to listen to me? See, there's two questions there, subject matter and time. So what would he say if he said, when would it be convenient for you to listen to me?
Right now is good.
Right now, that's two. Now you say to him, you have every right not to give me gifts, not to give me things that tell me you love me. You have every right. There's a book, Five Languages of Love, that you might want to read. So you have the right to be you. But I like the language of gift giving. You're very physically affectionate. I love it. But I want a birthday. What religion are you?
I'm not religious. I'm spiritual.
Well, yeah, but do you have Christmas? Do you have, what spiritual religious holidays do you want presents on?
Sure, yeah. Christmas is a good one.
Okay, Christmas. I want a Christmas present and a birthday present. What else?
Birthdays, Christmas, and I think that's, and for major accomplishments, like when I graduated from university, I would have liked one.
What, you graduating from university?
Yeah.
Have you already graduated?
I did, but I have another program that I will have to finish in the next month or two.
Wait, I didn't hear that. It rumbled away. Did you already graduate and he didn't give you a graduation? You want graduation presents?
For the upcoming one, not for the past ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you want a graduation present?
Yeah.
Anything else do you want?
I would appreciate flowers on maybe every few months.
How many times?
Every other month.
Every other month?
Yeah.
Flowers. Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? Are you writing these down?
Nope. Yes, I'm writing this down.
Okay. Anything else?
I know, Debbie.
I'm going to say, Sam, I want to talk to you about the fact that you have a right to not believe in giving physical gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, really turn on to gifts for Christmas, my birthday, I love flowers every other month. And what was the other thing?
Birthday, Christmas. Graduation, yeah.
Present. I'm really turned off by not getting physical evidence of your love for me, although I appreciate your affectionate demonstration. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to stay as long as I can with you, but I'm warning you that if I don't get these sources of love, these languages of love, I don't believe I'm compatible with you, and I will have to leave. So what do you think about considering my request? What would he say?
He would say that I'm going to take some time to think about it.
He's going to do what?
Take time to think about it, but most likely he'll hate it.
I will give you 1 week. A non-answer is a negative answer. You have a right not to give me anything. Mm-hmm. But I turn off when you don't give me things. There are five languages of love. And one mm-hmm. of mine is gift giving. What are his languages of love?
He loves to spend time together.
He likes the sex time?
Mostly just non-sexual time. We watch TV. He likes to cuddle.
Okay. He likes affectionate sensuality.
Yeah.
And you like that.
I like it too, yeah.
And I want you to be sure that you tell him how much you like those gifts.
Okay.
And what if he says, I'll give you Christmas, I'll give you birthday, I'll give you, what was the other one? Flowers every other month. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to give you a graduation present. Would you dump him for that?
We could compromise and he can take me to dinner.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I want you to be prepared to negotiate. You see what I mean? There's three forms of communication. One is intimidation. Now, look here, Sam, you better give me what I want or I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we started this conversation.
Right. Yeah, I was worried about doing that.
The second one is seduction. Sam, you don't love me. You don't give me things. Got that?
Yeah.
That's guilt and shame. You know what mine is? You have a right to do this, and I have a right to do this. You want to be respected. I want to be cherished. And we can negotiate compromise issues because you're very, very important to me. But I love myself more than you.
Okay. Yes.
You got that?
Got it. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
Okay. Are you willing to give it a go and report back?
I will definitely report back.
Did you take enough notes?
I did, yeah. And I'll listen to the podcast again.
Good, good, good. Oh, that's right. You can listen to the podcast. Good girl. Excellent. I'm glad you called before you dumped him.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much, Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome.
All right. Have a lovely
evening. Thank you, caller. Good luck.
Great.
Hey, we've got some more calls coming in. We're going to take another one.
We want to take
another one.
10 minutes to 6, that's when we're going to take a knot.
Yeah, well, we're waiting for Sam to get us one in our queue.
www.wanticestore.com is where you find all of our products. People are asking, and so I'm telling. If you go there, you're going to find Dating Over 50 DVD. You're going to find all kinds of books, including Dr. Allen's newest. So go there. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen.
But you're welcome to call me back.
Oh, no. Callers. We need you to answer so we can talk to ya. Okay, so Sam's going to get us another one. So if you go on ICE.com, you're going to find Conversational Rape. You're going to find our DVD set, Dating Over 50, and a plethora of other items. So do it. Okay, caller, you got to turn down your radio. You're live on the air, and you are in the hot seat. Ask your question.
Hi, Dr. Pat. How are you?
Well, I'm just fine there, Brian.
Well, I'm always doing better when I hear your warm introduction. So I confirmed a date.
First name?
What's that?
Do you know the reason I use men's first name?
I don't.
It's more respectable.
Oh, well, hey, I'll definitely take more respect and
respect by giving you your name.
Well, thank you. Although since you're in your teaching hat, shouldn't I be giving you respect since you're not in your feminine role now?
I'm masculine, but so are you. We're at work.
Oh, okay. Oh, good point.
I'm not your girlfriend.
That's true. I remember when you were doing your shows in person, you were talking about you were talking about your young boyfriend and that you were the cougar.
That sounds like me. Okay.
Yes, you always had a lot of good ones. So I confirmed a date for this weekend right before this call, but I was nervous because even though we had a good first date, I realized that I've gotten a lot of no's from women. I think over history and some recently. And so I had a negative expectation, even though there was nothing based on it there. So we ended up connecting, and she was busy and doing some errands, so it was easier to talk on the phone. So I realized that it still had more to do with old stuff. So I got one of those books that you suggested and looked at some Daniel Siegel stuff.
Which book?
I know it's green. I have it right here. The subliminal one, Leonard Mildenau.
What is that?
How your conscious is subliminal.
Yes.
By that Leonard, I'm not sure.
Mildenau.
Oh, okay. Yes, that's him.
Subliminal is your subconscious mind controls, yes. And for men, you people are very intuition, cortisol, part of the brain, and we women are very much into neurotransmitters, dopamine, norepinephrine, serotonin, oxytocin. So did you practice dynamic manhood? Asking her for a
dynamic. Oh, is that something that's in the book? I haven't started the book yet. So what's dynamic manhood?
Well, that book is from the subliminal control. It doesn't do anything about dating. It's not about men or women. It's about just that process.
Okay. But what is dynamic manhood?
Asking for what you want when you're afraid to.
Well, that did happen today. So I had asked her a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't hear from her a couple of days ago. So I said, well, if we're really but she initially seemed interested in going out. So I said, all right, well, I better reach out today to see if she's available Saturday and Sunday. And she still was.
That's it right there.
Okay, well, good. Yeah. So,
rejection turn you off.
Scripting the expected rejection, but that there really aren't indications of that. So it's nice to put myself out there, and I have been putting myself out there more in social situations, connecting with more people. Not a lot has come out of it, but I realize that, you know, it's like exercising, it's building a muscle. The more you do it, the better you get at it. So, you feel more dynamic manhood when you're out there in the wild, because my goal is still not to meet people online. I definitely want to do it face-to-face. You know, maybe Zoom speed dating as far as I want to go. But for me, staying out of the swiping, I think that only tells you so much.
All right. Did you hear me working with the other gentleman?
What did he bring to the table?
We talked about assertiveness, femininity, the same. It would be good for you to listen to me work with him because it's in the same category of manhood. He's a recovering alcoholic, and I explained that when a man drinks, he becomes more feeling-centered than thinking-centered. When a woman drinks or uses too much sugar, she becomes more masculine. It knocks out her feelings, and she becomes more intellectual, more masculine.
Mm-hmm.
So
I read more of... go ahead.
I think. So you'll see what I'm saying, but the book that you got by Mulata now is about the conscious and unconscious mind, which is Lyman. That's the Lyman between going to sleep and waking up. So
writing the intentions.
Do you need any help?
I don't think that's it. I have been reading, what was it, that Intimate Passions? Is that the name of the book? Oh, I read Dangerous Passions. That one has really explained itself.
That is about jealousy by David Buss. Great book.
The subliminal one pretty soon after that. So I have a call with somebody else today and a couple of other possibilities. Some threes I'm not that interested in, but there's definitely a one and a two.
Okay, so are you dating three women or not?
I've probably got two. I'm doing what I can to get interested in the third. I'm really not interested in any of my number threes at the moment, I think, to do much else.
I appreciate you working for yourself.
Okay? Yeah, definitely. But I am keeping my eyes open. All right. Thank you, Dr. Pat. I'll see what I can do to listen to what the other guy's situation was.
Good. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Goodbye.
Yeah. Thank you. Bye. To remind everyone, the One Institute is a 501c3 not-for-profit corporation, and your donation is tax deductible. Reach out to info@drpatallen.com to find out how. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen, and you've left. Okay, so maybe we'll get that caller back. I'm not sure what happened there. It sounded like they had a little static on their line. Hello, caller. You are on the air live with Dr. Allen.
I checked my voicemails. And
what is
that? Okay. Oh, voicemail. Hello, caller. Hello? You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi, Dr. Allen. Hi.
I'm here.
Dating me, and other men are dating me also. I'm dating two other men, like you suggest, but he's my number one choice, and we have chemistry, and we went on a date 2 weeks ago, but he has kids. He has a daughter. And so he lives like 40 minutes away from me. And so last weekend, he couldn't get together because of his daughter's schedule. And this weekend, he tried to kind of go around it, but he's not available. And then I'm not really available the 2 days during the week that he wants to get together. But is it too much? My question is it too much to ask him like just after one date? Is it okay to say, if we were to date in the future, would you be available to see me at least once a week? Like, because I want to know that, because I don't want to invest time in somebody that's not going to be available.
Would you boil your statement down to a question?
Yeah. So is it okay to ask him after one date if we were to continue dating, if he'd be available to see me once a week?
Now, is this a boyfriend or a new date?
No, it's just a date, a new date. But we've been on one date.
You've had one date with him?
Yeah, but he has a daughter, so his schedule's like, it's been hard to get together on the weekend because of his daughter.
Oh, you have a daughter.
He does. He has a daughter.
He has a daughter.
He has a daughter.
Yes, and so that's why it's been hard for us to get together.
Wait. Where did you get him?
He, on the online app.
Told him that you want
he
him. Who's
yes,
no
he person? Asked me out.
He asked you out. And did he?
Yes, he asked me out. He's been pursuing me.
Okay, did he say anything on the date about another date?
Yes.
What did he say?
The thing is, that's what we're trying to figure out, a day that we can both do it, because he has a daughter. And so his schedule on the weekend, with his daughter's schedule, it's hard to have a date. And it's been 2 weeks, and so I'm just kind of wondering if we're even compatible, if he's going to be available enough, because he does live 40 minutes away from me.
How old is the daughter?
I think she's 12. 12?
She's 12. She's really a woman.
Yeah.
Now, is she in school?
I think so. Actually, I think she's older than that because she said her work schedule, so I think she's a teenager.
Do you understand that you can date? Is he employed? Can you get together? Can you get free to have a date while she's doing something like school?
Yeah. He's available on Mondays and Wednesdays, but that's kind of not good for me because my days that like on Monday are kind of long at my job, and on Wednesday I have a class I go to at night. And so on the weekends, it's been like his daughter's work schedule, I guess, is getting in the way of it. But it's been 2 weeks now since I've seen him, so I don't know if it's not, like, we're compatible. Like, he already lives 40 minutes away from me. I'm just thinking, is it going to be too hard to even try to date him?
It might be, but why don't you give him the choice? Has he asked you for a date?
Okay.
Has
so just continue to date other men. Yes, he's asked me on a date, and we've been trying to schedule it for 2 weeks, but it just hasn't been.
Is there a way that the daughter can be in school or with, is her mother, does she have a mother somewhere?
Yeah, I think she has her more, I guess.
You may have to be creative in your dating schedule. You know, we don't, you might not have a Saturday night date. You might have a Monday morning date.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Would you be willing?
I have plans. He asked me about Saturday, but I already made plans with my girlfriend, and I don't want to change that for him. I want to hang out with my girlfriend.
Okay, so you're really not interested in getting married.
No, I am.
Then why would you put a girlfriend ahead of a possible date? Did you have any chemistry for this man?
Yeah, I have a lot of chemistry. So I should do the date instead of my friend?
Yes, dear. You should have friends that want to help you get married. I recommend that you get creative about dating him. Maybe, you know, while his daughter is in school, or maybe is at her mother's. Be flexible.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I see my friend during the day on Saturday and then see him at night.
Well, I don't care when you see him, as long as he asked you to find a way to see him so that his daughter is someplace safe.
Okay.
You make your list, and the date can be unusual. Be open and creative.
Okay.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. So I need to be flexible on that day because I want to see him. We have a lot of chemistry.
And please do not put girlfriends ahead of possible husbands.
Okay. That's what I needed to know then.
Yes, if you really want to be married, you have to decide that hunting for a husband is what you're doing.
Okay.
And you said you had chemistry for him. Just don't have
any. Yeah.
So you have my permission to call him and say, I'm calling in response to your request about how we can see each other and take care of your daughter.
Okay.
Then you have your available days and times and see if any of them fit him.
Okay.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a patient coordinator for a plastic surgeon.
Okay, so you are in charge of your time.
Yes.
Okay, then use your openings to see if you can arrange dates with this man.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thank you so much.
Good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Bye.
Thank you, Carl. Okay, Carolyn, we have a really great point, and I love to have you talk about it because it's kind of a new concept. It is the where did you go? So I have 3 or 4 questions in my Facebook queue, and they're all relating to this. I'm just going to give you one of them because I think it'll answer all of them. So she says, I had a couple of great dates with a man. He was amazing. He said he was going to call me. Pardon me?
What kind of dates? Drinking dates?
Dinners.
Call her dates.
Yeah, he took her to dinner twice.
Okay, he took her to dinner twice. And
yes. And then on the second date, at the close of the date, he gave her a kiss and he told her, I'm going to call you. We've got to do this again. And then
know, God, when did that happen?
7 weeks ago.
Oh, 7 weeks. Okay, I'm going to stretch it. Here's what she does. Number one, the first requirement for you calling some man who said, I'm going to call you because I had a good time, and then doesn't. What
yeah.
I want you to do when that happens is, as soon as I don't, 7 weeks is a big stretch, but you still have good evidence because he said, we've got to do this again. That's the
exactly.
key. So who you are. And
right.
you 7 weeks ago that you had a good time on our second date and you wanted to do it again. Where did you go?
And so, Dr. Allen,
what?
One of our gals, she did that with a guy, and his answer was, I was at work, but I'm home now. She didn't know how to respond, so she said nothing. Then what? Then what happens?
Then you
how
say,
are they supposed to respond if he comes back?
Look, the only requirement for where did you go is that he said he's going to call, or he liked what he did and he's going to do it again. You see?
Mm-hmm.
Days or so after you had that date. And refer back to him and what he said. I had a good time and we can do this again. And
exactly.
then you call him. Now, in this case, he said, I'm home now. So that is, what are you saying? Are you saying we can have a date now?
Oh, good. I like that. She's
because
listening, so.
That's him saying, she said, where did you go? And he said, I'm home now. Is that what
gotcha.
She said?
Yeah.
And she says, does that mean you want to meet and have a date now?
Oh, I love that. That's perfect.
Oh, it is. But and saying, out of the blue, where did you go? Because if he didn't say something that you could refer to, you're chasing him.
Right.
And that's okay.
Right.
You want to be respected in the man and the mama.
Right.
Did I answer?
So we have another. Oh, yes, you did. So we have another gal who is asking, can you explain or detail the how can you identify if a man is a Peter Pan?
A Peter Pan goes with a Peter Pan says, do you want to do this? What do you want me to wear? He is like a little boy with a mama. So.
Oh my goodness, we've lost Dr. Pat. Well, we're going to get her back. That's okay. We've been having a little bit of problems with the signal tonight there in the beginning of our show. I want to remind everybody, www.drpatallen.com.
Oh.
Hi, Dr. Allen. Welcome back.
Who is this?
This is Kelly.
Oh, is this Kelly? It didn't sound like you. I think I just answered it. Peter Pan doesn't know what he wants, so he is waiting for you, whoever you are, to tell him what you want. If you listen to this earliest podcast, I did some work on this.
Mm-hmm.
So with that in mind, Peter Pan is a sweet boy, and you're fine if you're a masculine mother. But if you're a woman, there's two women, so who does what?
Right. So Peter Pan is looking for Wendy to sew the shadow back on his heel.
That's right. Absolutely.
Okay. So Wendy is really the mother figure in the story.
There's four types of relationships. There is the girl that wants a sugar daddy. There is a man that wants sex, and he has to be with the woman that gives it to him for nothing, no commitment, no monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
But a real woman gets what she wants by knowing what she doesn't want. I don't want to be a free wife. I don't want to be a Wendy. I don't want to be a gold digger.
Right.
I want to be cherished as a woman. Okay?
Yes, definitely.
Good.
Okay. Here we have... Okay. How does a gay man write a hi-bye letter? Is it any different than the normal hi-bye letter? Could you outline the five paragraphs?
What different hi-bye letters? I don't know different ones.
No, it's a homosexual male wanting to write a hi-bye letter and wanting to know if it's the same formula.
Hey, good. So remember, and I don't, there's a law out there not to use the word gay. A sex trender relationship is where one man is male and respected, and the other man is cherished so that they form a transgender relationship. So what is the question this man is asking? To man, the woman, by feelings.
He wants to know if there is a different formula for the hi-bye letter between two men in a sexual relationship.
No, but they've got to know if they're the respectable partner or the cherishable partner. This is such a major, major issue. And I don't know any other therapist that's teaching transgender counseling. But I do.
Okay. Well, he is the masculine energy in the relationship, and he would like the five paragraphs.
So is he masculine? Did he put in there he wants to be respected or he wants to be cherished?
Respected.
Okay. So therefore, he's got to be prepared to know what he does not want, because if he's with a real masculine man, that man is going to ask for what he wants and hopefully ask him how he feels about it. And all the language, everything I teach is not oriented towards the genitals. It's oriented towards the type of relationship they want. You
well,
see?
What this gentleman is saying is his partner keeps trying to wrest the power in the relationship of the masculine respected energy away from him. And then when times get tough or things get rough, he shoves it back.
Narcissists be respected and cherished equally. So whoever you're with has to be a zero.
We've got a caller on the line. Caller, do you have a question for Dr. Allen?
Hello, Dr. Allen.
Hello.
I'd like to ask you, how do you explain explain a man that you want to be the one that's cherished in the relationship when he says that one should be both cherished and respected, and he wants both, and he just does not want to understand.
About. I was just talking. A person who wants to be respected and cherished is a 10, and whoever is with them is a 0. Fools. You have every right to want for me to want me to be respecting you and cherishing you. I am much more comfortable when I'm cherished, and I will respect you, but I am not willing to be a 0.
The he two says questions he does I not answer.
What?
Go ahead. He says he does not understand why he cannot have both.
I don't know what she's saying.
He says that he claims he doesn't understand why one person cannot have both, and I tried to help him. He does not cherish my feelings. It's all about him.
Does he want you to cherish his feelings? Are you with the narcissist or are you not?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
Are you with the narcissist that wants to be respected and cherished equally?
I believe so, yeah.
Then would you please say to him, you have every right to want to be respected and cherished, but I'm unwilling to be a 0. I would be much more comfortable if you were responsible and help me about doing it or not doing it. So what do you think, sir? Are you willing to be respectable to my cherishable? Have you read Getting to I Do?
Yes.
And do you understand that there is not one bit of difference in negotiating a lesbian relationship? One girl is masculine and one girl is feminine. There is no difference in dealing with two men. One guy is masculine and one guy is feminine. And if you want to read a book that's got the laws of the classes of the tools I have, read Man's World and Woman's Universe, I know we know us. The relationship designs are the same. Everybody is androgynous. My doctoral dissertation is androgynous semantic syntactical realignment. I take words and I combine factual yang energy, that's semantics, and feminine yin energy, that's reaction. So the answer to this question is, we're all androgynous, that's all transgender, and basically, we don't even need the word gay. We just need, do I want to be respected or do I want to be cherished? And do you want to waltz with me?
Okay. Okay. When a man asks a woman, when did you last have sex? Which is a very...
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Ask that again because it's bumping. Go ahead.
If a man asks a woman that he's been dating for a while, when did you last have sex? What should a woman answer to that question? Because that's a very personal question.
I didn't hear the question clearly enough. If you're willing to answer it, ask it again, I'll answer it.
If a man asks me, a man that I'm dating, if he asks me, when did I last have sex or when was I last intimate with a man, what, how should I answer? Because that's a very personal question.
Now I'm going to ask you, are you in a relationship or not? Were you having casual sex or not?
No, it was in a relationship.
I was in a relationship and we were making love.
Okay.
You answer the truth, because if you don't answer it, it means you're a whore and you're making money at it. That's what his brain will intuitively do.
Right. Right.
So if you were legitimately okay. sexual, he says, well, why aren't you with him? What would you answer to that?
We were not compatible.
What wasn't compatible? He might ask, he might interview. What was not compatible?
We didn't communicate very well, and we didn't have the same values.
Okay. And are those all true answers?
Yes. Can I ask a man about if to find out if he's dating other women?
No, and no. Because asking him is wanting him to answer your questions, which is mothering him. The only thing you need to do with the man is know what to say no to in a respectful way. That's it. That's the letter gray. Take care of women and kids, or they die, because men need to be cherished when they're old. Got it?
Can I say this to a man, this exact same word, or is that big no? What you just told me, can I say this to a man or no?
Say what to a man?
What you just said to me. Can I say this to a man, that men need to cherish women and kids
Did
so they don't die alone?
Do you want to lecture him?
No. Would that be considered... Mm-hmm.
Is your mother a man or a woman?
A man.
Fine, it shows on you. I'm telling you, questions, more interviewing you for virtue. That's the Grail legend, Indiana Jones. Harrison okay. Ford movie. At the end of that Indiana Jones movie, the ball is rolled down the rank, and the woman gets to reach for the cup, the golden cup, which is the lessons that I teach, or his hand. What did she reach for? The gold cup. Instead of his hand. And that's what women's lib is doing to women. Women are too masculine, disrespectful to men whose feelings are hurt terribly with the disrespect. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you have anything
Thank you,
to
caller.
Say?
We're out of time. Dr. Allen, what do you say before we go?
The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments you make and keep.
Excellent. Hey, everyone. We'll be back next week. Until then, be safe.
and be happy. We love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're on the air right here on LA Talk Radio.